What does it mean to be a disciple? Hi, I'm Jordan Sullivan, the minister of music here at Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama, and we're in a series looking at how we can be committed disciples of Jesus Christ by following His Great Commission together as a church family. Our prayer is that in this season you will find greater communion with God, greater community with your fellow disciples, and greater commitment to Jesus' Great Commission. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to Day 31 of A Disciple of Christ, A Season of Commitment. Today's devotion is titled, The Hard Truth. Mark Twain once wrote, "The difference between the right word and the almost right word is the difference between lightning and a lightning bug." Our text for today is Jeremiah chapter 28, verses 5 through 9. "Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to Hananiah the prophet in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, 'Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord make the word that you have prophesied come true, and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. Yet hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet." Jeremiah 28, verses 5 through 9, describes a significant moment in the life of the prophet Jeremiah, emphasizing the conflict between true and false prophets during a difficult period in Israel's history. In these verses, we find Jeremiah engaging with Hananiah, a false prophet, who boldly proclaims that God will break the Babylonian yoke and restore Israel's fortunes within 2 years. Jeremiah responds to Hananiah's optimistic prophecies by reiterating that while the people prefer messages of hope and deliverance, true prophecy is often accompanied by difficult truths that are hard to accept. This exchange highlights the context in which both prophets operate. Jeremiah, known for his message of impending judgment due to Israel's disobedience, represents the voice of God calling for repentance. In contrast, Hananiah's declaration serves as a tempting alternative that aligns with the people's desires. Through this confrontation, we see a clear message regarding the nature of prophetic ministry. True prophets must communicate the full counsel of God, which can sometimes include difficult and unwelcome messages, rather than simply what the people wish to hear. Jeremiah's response in these verses also serves as a reminder of the actual test for prophecy. In verse 9, he states that when a prophet proclaims peace, only when that peace comes to pass can the people know that it was truly from the Lord. This principle underscores the importance of discernment in recognizing genuine prophets among self-proclaimed ones. It encourages believers to weigh the messages they receive and look for their fulfillment as proof of their divine origin. Philip Ryken offers some keen insight into the application of today's scripture. Sometimes, when people hear Christians speak about divine judgment, they get the wrong idea. Christians do speak about divine judgment, hell, and all the rest of it. we explained that every sin deserves the wrath and curse of God. We teach that sin leads to death. We testify that God has reserved a place of endless torment for everyone who refuses to repent of his sins. But Christians do not talk about God's judgment because they enjoy it. The only reason we teach these things is because the Lord Jesus Christ himself teaches them in the Bible. Jeremiah had the same attitude. He did not preach judgment because he enjoyed it. He did not take perverse pleasure in prophesying the fall of Jerusalem. He only preached judgment because God told him to preach it. His testimony was that he did not desire the day of despair. That's from chapter 17, verse 16. Instead, he stood in the presence of God to intercede on behalf of his people, begging God to turn away his wrath. That's in verse 20 of chapter 18. So when Hananiah predicted that God's mercy would preempt God's justice, Jeremiah hoped he was right. In front of all the people, he prayed, "Amen, may the Lord do so." When someone tries to minimize the judgment of God, it is appropriate for the Christian to say, "I hope you're right." Given the choice between praying for mercy and praying for justice, we pray for mercy. This is what motivates us to share the good news about Jesus Christ. We know it is perfectly just for God to condemn sinners and banish them into eternal darkness. But we also know that according to Hebrews 10:31, it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So we desire all men, all women, and all children to be saved. We desire it because God desires it. According to 1 Timothy 2:4, he wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Overall, Jeremiah chapter 28, verses 5 through 9, stands as a compelling reminder of the weighty responsibility carried by prophets and leaders to communicate God's truth, especially when the topic is challenging to share. Today's scripture urges us to distinguish truth from falsehood, knowing that although God's plans may not always align with our desires, he knows best. Some questions to consider. How do you think Jeremiah felt in proclaiming judgment on God's people? How do you share the truth of God's judgment balanced with God's grace? And finally, why is it so tempting for people to believe false prophecy when it contains what they believe are future blessings? Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.